and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 4, episode 1, the first episode of the off season. I'm Thomas Parkernick, joined by Thomas Coburn and producer Paolo Gismondi. As always, Coburn, what's going on, man? How was the Super Bowl?
We'll get into how the Super Bowl was because I think we have very, you know, opposite takes. But season 4, when are we going to sign a max?
Yeah, I don't know. This is
a rookie deal.
This is the last year of our contract. So
maybe we get tagged. A franchise tag from YouTube?
If we get tagged, I'm holding out.
Really?
Oh, I'm very anti-franchise tag.
Do you think the franchise tag should exist? First topic that we didn't plan to talk about. You don't think it should exist?
That's a great like August topic when there's just absolutely zero going on. I mean, not much more going on now, but at least we have the Super Bowl to discuss. You're wearing the Lions hat. Like you always have on.
Next year.
I just want to ask you, because I know you dreamt of seeing Matthew Stafford hoist the Lombardi trophy your entire life. So when you finally got to see it with your two own eyes, how amazing was that feeling?
I thought it was going to, well, I guess last week I was basically saying like, I really don't want them to win. To me, the Super Bowl felt extremely like dead. I don't know why. Everybody seemed to like it for the most part. I know there were some people out there that I think would agree with me. To me, it felt very flat. So it kind of made them winning not as bad because I wasn't as emotionally invested as I thought I was going to be. Now that he's won it, you know, take a step back. Good for him. Good for him that he won. I'm not cheering for him. Like, I don't care that he won. It's good to see. It's a cool narrative if you take your emotions out of it. First year out of a franchise you've been on for 12 years. You win a Super Bowl. It is what it is. Kudos to Matthew Stafford. I know he's been hoping for me to say that. He tunes in every episode. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah, there you go, Matthew. Now you can go back to training for next season. But it was nice to see. I'll give him that much.
His wife's been really jawing at you on her podcast too. So, I mean, she's kept her receipts all year long of you saying he's a choker and a fraud and all that stuff. There he is. He gets it done. In terms of the game, I mean, I'll say this. I think it was a weird game in the sense that both teams didn't really look that great.
Right.
Like, this was not the peak of NFL football that we've seen. But at the same time, there was some good defense, not great. There was some good offense, not great. It went down to the wire. I mean, what more could you ask? But on the last two drives for game sealing and then a potentially game tying drive that obviously came up short, they were kind of underwhelming in terms of how they went. Probably the flags in the and goal situations on the Rams game-winning drive sort of died things down a little bit. And then just the play calling on that Bengals final drive, Aaron Donald just completely taken over and the offensive line being the Achilles heel that I think you predicted.
I think every single person.
Honestly, I was against it. It was too popular of a take for me to jump on. I did pick Aaron Donald to have a sack though. Honestly, if I were to place this in the last 10 Super Bowls, I think it would be middle of the pack, personally.
I'm trying to think of Super Bowls that we've watched that are easily worse than it. And I'd say, okay, to be fair, last season was pretty bad. It was kind of entertaining because, you know,
I hated it.
Okay, fair. Okay, but that's a fair thing. It definitely was a worse game overall, I'd say. And then from there, definitely the Broncos and the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, like, to me, I had more fun watching the Rams and the Patriots Super Bowl. You don't like defensive football.
You know what
football.
I would You're not place a, it as an accurate measurement is the 49ers and the Chiefs. And that game was similar to this one where I think both teams were sloppy. But the Chiefs had this 2-minute magical run at the end of the game that just saw them not turn it into a blowout, but win by double digits. I think it was 31-20, the final score. So that's where I would rank it. I think maybe I'd put this just above, because if you think about it, we didn't know who was going to win this game until the final play. And that to me has to hold some weight.
Right. At least it was close. Here's the thing. I think the biggest thing, and I don't know if I said this to you, I've said this to everybody that I've talked to about the game. SoFi is the worst stadium in the league by far. People think it's cool, and it is cool, and it's really expensive, and it costs $100 billion to make or whatever. That stadium holds no noise. Now it's, you know, partly because LA has no fans, but there's no atmosphere when that game is going on. It felt, I don't know, at least to me, it felt very quiet the whole time. Like there was never even like, you know, there was some big plays and it was like, yeah, there was a little roar, but like nothing that was Super Bowl worthy. I don't know.
I would agree with that. I also found it a little weird, and I'm trying to remember the last time we had a Super Bowl on the West Coast. Feels like it was in San Francisco, maybe like within the last 10 years, but I'm blanking on that right now. The fact that it was light outside the whole game, like now I'm just being incredibly picky, but that was a little weird. It didn't feel as like, you know, how it feels on Sunday Night Football when the lights are on and there's super high stakes. Didn't really feel like that. I'll also say one thing about it. What's the like the legendary moment? Like a lot of these Super Bowls have like that one play moment, like Philly special, helmet catch, you know, Santonio Holmes in the end zone. This Super Bowl lacked that, and not every single one is going to have that, but if I were to pinpoint one certain play in this game, that's like, this is just legendary. Honestly, in my eyes, it'd probably be that Stafford no-look throw to Cooper Kupp. And that, I mean, it was a big play, but it wasn't a touchdown or anything.
And here's the thing about that too. I feel like that play was like, it blew up after the game.
Yeah.
That wasn't something we all...
When he threw that ball, I said, wow, what a throw that was. But I think when we all saw the how it was a no look and we saw the back camera view after, it got more impressive.
Yeah.
But yes.
Afterwards, everybody saw it. Everybody thought it was great. The one play, last play of the game, when Burrow spun and threw it to P. Ryan, why is he on the field, first of all? But it is what it is. Backup running back. Anyways, in that moment when he threw the ball, my brain, like it processed it so quickly. I was like, it's Eli Manning. I was like, this is like the Eli moment right here. It's going to happen. Like he spun, he threw, and I'm like, here it is. And then it just, I was like, oh, for sure. He's going to get the first down and they're going to go win.
That would have been legendary.
Yeah. But Mixon wasn't in the game. So, I mean, you only pay him $8 million a year or whatever. So it is what it is. Put your backup in there.
Quick note on that. I heard Zach Taylor said that it took them too long to get the play call in. So then it was like, it was too late to substitute. And then they just said, okay, we're just going to keep him in. So things happen. It's in the moment. It's tough.
It's only a Super Bowl though. Coaching a football team. You know,
he got his contract extension. So I think the city of Cincinnati seems to be confident that they'll be back. Although I've never seen a team win the Super Bowl. And then the next day people speak about their franchise, like, they are the worst run organization ever and they have no chance. Joe Burrow is going to leave the first chance he gets. Like, let's just relax, everybody.
Can I say it now? February 18th?
Yeah.
0% chance the Bengals win. 0% chance the Bengals win their division.
Next year.
Zero. No, next year.
If I were to give a percentage for the Bengals to win their division next season, I think I'd put it at 51%.
Okay.
We're going to do a percentages episode because
all right.
This was
every
fun.
Single team. Okay.
This is pretty fun actually. So, okay. Before we get into some other talk, we have to discuss our Super Bowl bet results. If you didn't tune into last week's episode, go there quickly now and just listen to our point system if you're confused. But essentially we did picks for very weird prop bets, picks for the actual game against the spread, the total points scored over or under. And then we each had three of our favorite prop bets with the Super Bowl MVP as the tiebreaker or another point.
It didn't matter in the end because I got absolutely murdered.
Yes.
So, but I think it was a tiebreaker. The Super Bowl MVP was a tie. I took Jalen Ramsey.
We weren't allowed to pick quarterbacks for Super Bowl MVP. Yes, you took Jalen Ramsey. I took Cooper Kupp, who ended up winning.
Of course.
So Cooper Kupp, everyone's talking about the greatest wide receiver season ever, triple crown winner. Am I the greatest podcast host season ever? Because I also won a triple crown. Regular season title against you, against the spread. Maybe a 9-point win. Playoffs, you raised your game and you made it tough. I think I won by one game. And then the Super Bowl, a 3-0 win. That's the triple crown on me.
Considering how brilliant I am, everybody knows this, just a pretty genius human being. It might be more impressive than Cooper Kupp season.
That's true.
Slightly.
The competition is a lot tougher that I'm facing. Like Cooper Kupp, if you think about the other receivers that he's going up against to win a triple crown, is it really that impressive?
No.
Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson.
He went up against world
pedigree that you do.
He went up against world-class athletes, which is, you know, it's impressive. But you went up against a world-class brain, which I would argue is a little bit more impressive. So Cooper Kupp, maybe we'll make you an MVP trophy. It might have to be done.
I'm all you would, for you that deserve idea. It.
I think so.
So last season, I believe you won in total. Yeah, I think I won the – no, I think you maybe won everything. Last season, we were back
and forth. No, you won the Super Bowl, but I won overall.
You won overall. You beat me in the playoffs and the regular season. So, hey.
So, 1-1.
Next season's going to be big, especially that it's a contract year for both of us. And we're looking to avoid the franchise tag. See how everything comes full circle on this show.
Right.
Anyways, those were the Super Bowl bet results. That's going to be a little bit of a pause for betting on the show for now. But I'm sure we'll get into over-unders and all that as the offseason progresses. But my favorite thing about the Super Bowl, when it ends, the next day, Super Bowl 57, the betting odds come out. Very interesting this year. We talked a lot about how the NFL is so much parity. The favorite this year is, I mean, it depends where you look, but what we have right now, it's a tie between the Bills and the Chiefs, and they're plus 700, I believe. I don't know. What do you make from some of these opening odds?
The Bills leading once again, tied with the Chiefs, but depending on where you look there, they are the odds on favorites. It's kind of wild considering like the Patriots choked their division away this year. Like they could have easily won their division. Not say choked away because they played some good teams. They did lose to the Colts, but you know, it is what it is. That surprises me that they're odds on favorites. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction from what we saw in their final playoff game. And Josh Allen's brilliance
kill the Patriots as well, but
right. Okay. Well, that's fair. So I guess we're assuming that's going to happen again next year, which I would say is a safe bet. So obviously I think they're going to win the division, but it seems a little crazy to have them tied with I think the Chiefs should basically always just be, even if it's by a couple points, I think they should be the favorites, at least out of the AFC always.
Early takeaways on this from me. Personally, just because of how good the AFC is, if we knew Aaron Rodgers was coming back, and obviously that's a huge if, in my eyes, the Packers should be the Super Bowl favorites, just because because of that, I think they have the best chances of getting there. Now, they could all obviously collapse in the playoffs once again like they did this year, but I just think the AFC is such a logjam. There's so many good teams. I like what you said about the Bills, though, because I think people tend to be prisoners of the moment with these guys. Yes, they've won the AFC 2 years in a row, but this year, you said, they just barely squeaked by the Patriots, and they needed a late-season comeback and late-season push to do that. The year before, they were one game up on the Dolphins all year long until week 17. So the notion that the Bills are just being handed the AFC East every year, I think it's a little bit of a stretch, because the Patriots are going to be there and give you a rough time. And I think the Dolphins with the Patriots, both teams should be better next year. So we'll see how that goes with the Bills. It is surprising, but honestly, I think any team, if you were to put them as the favorites, you could have some sort of point to say, oh, they shouldn't be here.
Yeah. I mean, I also agree with what you said about the Packers too. It's just like, plus 15, I guess it's all, obviously it's taken into account that Rodgers could leave. I think at this point, most people, I feel like he's not going to leave. It might be the worst division in football now, or it's close to. It's brutal. And the NFC is
pretty bad too.
The NFC is looking pretty weak now, especially as long as Brady doesn't make a miraculous comeback. I see the Bucs sitting there at plus 2,200. Is that what that's for, in case he comes back?
Or if they land a top, you know, high profile quarterback, I guess.
That's what I think the best odds here, if you're going to take like, because I don't know, I don't see the point in betting a Super Bowl favorite at plus 700.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense because just the risk of injuries can ruin that pick. And then obviously you got to get a bit of luck in there and actually have them win. But the Steelers at plus 4,000. It's like, if you look at teams that are rumored to land a quarterback, it's like if they land somebody, that roster is pretty good. Pass rush, amazing. Offensive weapons, unreal. It's like, if you're looking at it, and then also the Chargers, everybody will be all over the Chargers at plus 2,500.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the value is not as good as Pittsburgh. Like, if you're looking at a Steelers pick at plus 4,000, all they have to do is get into the playoffs. And then you've made your money back right there. So We know Mike Tomlin. We know he has a winning record every year. I think next year is going to be even an even bigger challenge for him to do that again than it was this year, depending on who they get at quarterback. But you have to think, you hope they revamp their offensive line. The defense may or may not take a little bit of a step back. It's hard to ask TJ Watt to have 23 sacks again. It's very hard. And at this point, quarterback's just such a wild card. You can see they just land one quarterback and their odds jump from plus 4,000 to plus, you know, 20,000, 25,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of teams in, because the NFC is so weak, I think there's a lot of teams that could, like, for example, the Eagles are also plus 4,000. They made the playoffs last year. I don't think the NFC is going to be much stronger than it was a year ago. If not, it might even be weaker. Who's to say they can't get back?
Who's to say they can? I'll say they can't get back. That's who's to say that. I don't think with Jalen Hurts, not yet.
There's a chance.
Okay, fair. The Cowboys are plus 1,600. That's honestly, I mean, that the NFC is so weak. I think it's the weakest it's like been in the last, I don't know, 10 years. It feels like the NFC's also always felt so strong, and now it's there's not much left. Maybe that Rams at plus 900. Maybe it's a repeat. Who knows?
You know, I mean, at this point, am I really going to put my stake in Green Bay? I said, they should be the favorites just because the NFC is so weak if they get Rodgers back. But it's hard to trust them come playoff time. And when they are at least top of the odds, it's tough to jump on them. Let's just say it in unison what the worst bet would be out of all 32 of these teams in terms of value. I feel like you know what I'm thinking.
The worst bet in terms of value out of all of these.
I feel like you're probably going to say the Titans, but that's not what I'm. That's not who I'm thinking about. Because the Titans at plus 2,200. I mean, they're sitting on level with the Bucks.
Okay, I'm looking at. Okay, is it Denver?
Yeah, come on, Denver. Yeah. They were the same as I think last year. They had the sixth best betting odds after the draft, and their win total sat at like 10.5 all year long or all off season long. I don't know. Last season, I never really thought that they were going to get Rodgers. I just can't see it now.
Here's what I'll say. We can revisit them in a couple of minutes. One of my bold predictions involves the Broncos. And if this happens, I'd like to hear your thoughts about them winning the Super Bowl. Because I think you might like them.
One of my bold predictions also sort of involves the Broncos. We'll get there in a sec. Just I want to hear are you going with the Steelers for your favorite pick? I'm going with the very popular pick of the Chargers, which also I said that last year and they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think in terms of odds, even like, no, I'm not going to say Seattle, but kind of Seattle, if Russell Wilson can turn it all around. It's like, those are the odds that I'm like, the point of these to me is like, what, like you said, you get into the playoffs and then you can just hedge because you're not like hitting one from the beginning of the season is pretty tough unless you're going with the Chiefs and stuff and it's not worth it to me. So I'll go with the Steelers.
The Bengals, if you were on them last season, you would have made a ton of money this playoff. So you never know. Also, I'd like to say the Dolphins are also plus 4,000.
Nice.
You didn't give them any love. And I think they're going to be better than the Steelers. No bias there.
I think the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs. That's what I'll say.
Hey, we were one game away 2 years in a row. But I think the AFC is going to be stronger than ever. Look at all these. It's ridiculous, the quarterback talent in this conference. Someone's got to get traded. I hope Deshaun is in a Carolina Panthers uniform because we can't handle him coming back as well. It's just too much. Anyways, you alluded to it before. The offseason is here. Time to get a little bold. We're each going to give three offseason predictions that we think could happen. I don't know how bold you went. Obviously, I haven't heard yours. You haven't heard mine. But go ahead with your first one. Let's hear it.
All right. We'll continue with Denver because we were just talking about it. Everybody, you know, I guess it was the original thing was maybe Rodgers goes. But I'm going to say an even more entertaining quarterback goes. Jameis Winston to the Broncos. Oh. What if that happened?
You know what?
It could happen.
That is a massive upgrade for the Denver Broncos.
100%.
And it's not because he's better than Teddy Bridgewater, or maybe he is.
No, I think he's definitely better than Teddy
Bridgewater. They're the same. I put them on the same level, personally.
Okay, fair.
But I think that's what Denver needs. They need someone who is aggressive, who can push the ball down the field. If you look at what they have at the receiver position, there's a lot of untapped potential. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. There's some good players. What's the other one? Tim Patrick there. He's not too shabby. Noah Fant at tight end. I like that pick.
It's a good pick, eh?
Not bad.
And
at
here's
all.
The thing is we saw Jameis Winston play. I can't believe the Saints were 5-2. People forget the Saints were 5-2 with Jameis Winston. It was a very conservative Jameis Winston. Sean Payton was clearly trying to limit the mistakes. I think if he goes to Denver, it's another 29 pick season. But I'm here for it. Like, I think it's 33 touchdowns and 29 interceptions. I think it's going to happen.
Jameis Winston in that offense, in that altitude, that ball flying through the air easier than ever. That's a recipe for, like, we're keeping up with – that's a guy they need. Look at that division. Mahomes, Herbert, Derek Carr. Need a gunslinger.
There'll be a Monday night game that'll be, I don't know, 47-43 against the Chiefs, and it'll be the Broncos and the Chiefs. It'll be 47-43, and it'll end on like a Jameis interception throwing it deep. But it'll be one of the best games of the year.
I thought you were going to say that Jameis upsets the Broncos, and you just hype for him, and that's it. You bail on him with the last leg of your prediction. All right, my pick also sort of involves the Broncos. And I talked about it earlier. I don't think they're going to get Rodgers. My first prediction is Rodgers is just staying put in Green Bay. And I think they're going to franchise tag Adams, just like we're being franchise tagged. So that's what I got. And I just don't see it. I've said this for a while now. There's no better opportunity to win than what he has in Green Bay. So I'm going to say he stays put one more year. He didn't get a Super Bowl ring this year. His engagement was just announced that it broke off with his fiance. So he's looking for a ring, this guy.
There you go. That punchline was said about 1,000 times on Twitter, and everybody thought they were so clever, but it is what it is. It's an easy joke to make, so I get it. The only negative with that is that I think it's kind of, like you said, and I said it earlier, it's an easy division. He'll walk his way to a 1 or 2 seed basically every year, as long as he's there for the next couple of years. But is that a detriment? Is that the reason they've kind of fallen apart in the playoffs, where it's like, if you haven't been tested or maybe once or twice a whole year and you kind of just cruise your way to a division, I think that's played into the fact that it's how the 49ers went in there and beat them. It's like those glaring issues on special teams, you can kind of cover it up because you're winning games. So people know the special teams is bad, but nobody knows till playoff time.
That's an interesting mindset. I wasn't really on board with it until you said like glaring issues, like the special teams sort of go unnoticed throughout the season. Like the NFL season is still a grind. Even if you have a somewhat easy schedule, I think this year they played against the AFC West, which is a good... Did they? I remember they played the Chiefs. Maybe that was their extra game. I think that was
it. It was their extra game.
They played against the AFC North.
Yep.
Pretty decent division. The Bengals took them to overtime. They barely beat the Ravens. Next year, they play against the AFC East. Bills, Patriots, Dolphins. Those are some decent teams that they're going to have to go up against. The division is easy. I get it. You're going to be massive, massive favorites to win it. I don't know. Hey, Brady did it for years, and he still won Super Bowls. Easy division. No quarterbacks that could really challenge him. He would get there, but when it mattered most, he'd win. And Rodgers has not done that yet. So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he wants a new challenge. Maybe that's what it's just all about.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, second offseason prediction. I think Odell retires. I think that's it. I've seen a couple people float it out on Twitter. And to me, it just kind of makes sense. Going through another injury and another rehab to come back and play again, it's like you just won a Super Bowl. You're also such a mega star that you don't need the game in order to be in the spotlight as Odell loves to be. I think there's a chance he just calls it quits and that's it, walks away. You won a Super Bowl. He kind of proved to people that he still had it in the final run with the Rams. And I don't know. I don't know if he comes back from another injury again and can perform like we saw him do again at the end of this year. We'll see. If he does come back, I think he would stay with the Rams, but I'm going to say that he retires and just walks off into the sunset.
I think that would be an awesome way to go. And a lot of people, including myself, would applaud him for that, because I think the narrative 10 weeks ago on Odell was drastically different than it is today. And I think he's not only did he prove to people that he's still a good player, he's gained everyone's respect. Like, everyone seems to like him again. I viewed him as a villain almost when he was on Cleveland. He was annoying. He was, bashing his quarterback, bad teammate. Nobody wants to play with this guy. He's not what he used to be. Now it's like everyone seemed to buy in on what he was selling, and the Rams, he was crucial in that Super Bowl run. So Very interesting prediction. I like it.
All right, what's second? What's up next?
Yeah, I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers making a big splash at quarterback. I'm not going to say who it is.
Oh, okay.
But okay, fine. I'll say who it is. I'll give you two names: Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Look at the Bucs roster. They're built to win. The reason they were so good with Brady isn't because Brady came there and turned a bunch of practice squad players into, you know, it's because they had the team before with Jameis Winston. I think that for them to sit on this team and turn to a Kyle Trask or some other young unproven player, you'd be wasting your Super Bowl window. I know you might lose Chris Godwin in free agency, but they still have the pieces there to be a real, real threat. I'd be pursuing Watson heavily if I were the Buccaneers. Russell Wilson's more of a long shot, I think, because I do think he's going to end up staying in Seattle. Don't think he wants to leave, but I think they're going to make a big splash, and I look at Watson as a name to watch.
Yeah, I think if whoever they get, I think it's going to be shown that it's like, okay, this roster was like the best in the league. That it didn't. I think Brady got too much love, I think, in terms of just the team success. That's whoever goes there, even if it's a limited QB, like, you know, Garoppolo, like I think it's like they win that division. I think they're in the mix to the end, really, no matter who they get, as long as it's not like Kyle Trask, like you said. I don't think that's exactly the right choice. Final one for me. You said the Bucs land a quarterback. Another quarterback gets traded. Kyler Murray. I think Kyler's going to get... Here's the reason I think he does get traded. And if I were to pick a team, let's tie it in with my bold Super Bowl take of Pittsburgh. I think that's a good offensive weapons, a bad offensive line that Kyler can kind of make up for. We've seen him do it in Arizona. And then just around that, just a way better culture in Pittsburgh. But any team really is the prediction. There's almost no reason for them to be all this news. And I think it's where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't believe that it came out of nowhere and it's just going to like get resolved and everything will be okay. I think there's a chance this gets really ugly. And I think maybe before the start of next season, Kyler Murray is not on the Arizona Cardinals.
I think that would be one of the most embarrassing things to ever happen to an NFL organization if they trade Kyler Murray. First off, you were in a situation with Josh Rosen. You were terrible before Josh Rosen. Now you find the guy who his career has gone pretty typical so far for a first overall pick, and you're gonna move off of him this quickly. I think it's crazy. The Deshaun Watson situation already was embarrassing, but now it's been overshadowed by the legal process because that came after you requested a trade. But that situation was already like, are you kidding me? Requesting, like, you're supposed to be the guy to elevate this franchise. You don't like how things are being run. That's it. You want out. You're gonna quit on them. I don't know. Maybe it's the new era of star quarterbacks. They're not in it for the long haul. I don't know. The situation's so weird.
Once again, I don't agree with it. And I think it's like you said, it's like I think we're going to get into a situation where there's a fraction of the NBA leaks into the NFL where not really players, basically just quarterbacks have a little bit more control and a little bit more. I think you're going to see, you know, maybe it's only every couple years where a quarterback kind of forces their way out, but I think you're going to see it start to happen more and more. And maybe Kyler's the first one. Maybe he starts the new trend.
I'm not here for it.
Me neither. Hardens, I must say
the James Hardens of the NBA are just, I know we don't talk about the NBA, but when I saw James Harden get traded the other week, it just bothered me. So we'll see what happens, but that would be very interesting talking point. I'm glad that you gave the Steelers, because hey, they're a quarterback away too, and I know you're all over those Super Bowl odds. So I swear you've been a Steelers hater on this show notoriously.
No, maybe not. I would say I'm the opposite. I'm the only one that defends them because you hate Big Ben. Maybe I trash Ben a couple times.
Yeah, but a lot.
But he deserved it.
I specifically remember us predicting Ben's stat line one episode.
Who was that against?
Just ripped them.
Oh, the Vikings. I remember it was a Monday night game against the Vikings.
Monday or Thursday.
Either way, prime time.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook just was all over them. Anyways, yeah. My last prediction, I'm going away from the quarterback position, but still a pretty notable player. Calvin Ridley has been in the news for trade rumors. Another one kind of weird, but hey, who knows what the Falcons are doing? Is their Super Bowl window still open? We don't really know. I don't think they know either. I'm going to say he's traded to the AFC East. Reason being, I think the two teams that are going to be in on him the most are the Patriots and the Dolphins. I think the Patriots need a wide receiver a little more, but I like the Alabama connection in Miami because Tua played with Calvin Ridley. Also, you got Jaylen Waddle there. I think he's going to probably end up going to the Patriots if I would have to pick between the two, but I'm just going to be a little safer and say he's traded to the AFC East.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. One of the bold predictions for the season, I said he would lead the league in receiving yards. Obviously, he took some time away from the game, but even when he was playing, it just wasn't clicking like I thought it was. And I think a lot of people thought it was. So I think a change of scenery will be cool to see for him. Is it the Patriots? I kind of wouldn't like that. It seems like receivers kind of never really do much there at all. So, I mean, if I had to choose, I wouldn't like to see him go there. I'd rather see him go to Miami, although, I don't know, does that diminish Jaylen Waddle's fantasy stock? Because I think that might be an all-time high.
Mike McDaniels is all over that. But I think a lot of people, what they aren't reading into is Miami's going to be a run-first team under Mike McDaniel. I don't know who their running back's going to be, but notorious, like in San Fran,
right?
That was Mike McDaniel's game. All their hires on their coaching staff have been either offensive line coaches or run game coordinators. So we'll see. Interesting times to be a Dolphins fan. Brian Flores also went on Brandon Marshall's I Am Athlete podcast. I don't know if you saw the clip. He talked about his relationship with Tua, pretty much said everything in the media is ridiculous. I had a good relationship with Tua. And he said, like, why don't you go ask him? Ask him when, and he'll tell you. So things are heating up. I'm excited.
I feel like the whole Flores story has completely just fallen off a cliff in the last like week. Like now no one is talking about it.
Well, I heard he added the Texans to his lawsuit for how they handled him in his hiring process. But the Texans hired a minority head coach in Lovie Smith. And their two finalists were Lovie Smith and Brian Flores, who are both racial minorities. So I have no idea what's going on.
Who knows?
You're supposed to know. You said when we talked about this that you're the lawyer.
That's true. So, I got no clue what's going on. I'll be honest. I don't know what's going to happen with him. We'll see. At this point, who knows? Maybe he adds another 10 teams to the lawsuit. I think at this point, he's taking on the league, which is a wild move.
He's ambitious.
Good for him. Yeah. he's driven. Brian Flores is driven to win this lawsuit. So we'll see. Maybe that'll be the most interesting storyline of the offseason.
I feel like last year we were spoiled with Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. But guess what? All three of those storylines are still going forward this year. That's going to do it all for today. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. It's the first episode of season 4. Make sure to like and subscribe. And we'll see you next week or in 2 weeks.
I don't know. We'll just make episodes when there's stuff to talk
that's
about.
The off-season.
So, yeah, that's the offseason. We'll talk about maybe Samaje Perine contract extensions, all that great stuff. The Bengals love them. I don't know what else to do or talk about. There's the main episode. We got a minute left. The main episode of the offseason is when the helmets release. That'll be the biggest episode.
Oh, that's going to be huge. I forgot about that new rule. So
that might be a 2-hour episode.
That's a June, July thing, though.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So that'll be good.
We'll see you then. Take care.
Take it easy, guys.